are listening to an unpopular podcast.
Welcome to another sitting of the Thing Committee, Australia's definitive authority on things. Introducing your hosts, Josh Withers and Steve Malk.
Where do we hold the microphone when there's no
It's all right, so we're recording, but I'll officially introduce us in a second, but we'll just continue this.
Yeah.
Bizarre, Orlando Bloom, James Packer, Miranda Kerr.
Oh, the length's extraordinary. Yeah. The length's extraordinary.
I thought it was lovely. On Thursday night on Dirty Laundry Live, they put together a
montage.
A corkboard connecting all of the players in this...
A Kevin Bacon-esque, you know, connection.
And it wasn't just, like, these key people. There's other people on the side that are somehow associated.
So it's a bit like the opening credits to Game of Thrones.
Yes.
As each new character
comes
in. That is
very good, George. I like that. That's
yes, the House Packer reigns supreme.
I can see it now.
And the Bloom. Lord Bloom.
Excuse me, you've made it when the theme music for the best series in the world, Game of Thrones, is introducing the Comm Games in Glasgow.
I reckon totally reasonable.
What?
I reckon you've made it though when somebody over here joining us on this little conversational panel redoes the opening credits with food.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a good segue. Did you guys see, have you seen that yet? No.
Which one?
Alice's Game of Thrones, cooking of Bake of Thrones. What do we call it?
Gingerfell. It's
amazing.
We would have done it. Game of Scones.
Okay. I heard of direwolves.
Yes,
but Ridgebacks.
Yeah, well, I think...
Does Leo get a credit?
Leo definitely deserves a credit, maybe in the next one.
Bit earlier.
That was the start of... It was just before the start of this season. We thought we'd pay homage and baked for 3 days straight created a... Basically recreated the opening credits with gingerbread.
Oh, brilliant.
And stop-motion animation.
You'll have to check it out. It's pretty cool. Check it out.
Well, isn't it also amazingly convenient and brilliant that... Clearly, we are all Game of Thrones heads.
Aficionado.
Who isn't, though?
Oh, so many people I know.
Well, George Brandis, apparently.
It's ridiculous.
He's not a Game of Thrones aficionado.
Yeah, no, I know plenty.
I cut people out.
Senator George Brandis, the Attorney General. He's not a fan.
Please. I thought we were going to be the politics-free zone. Clearly.
It can be.
I botched it.
I cannot imagine Tony Abbott watching it. In fact, I can't imagine Tony watching TV.
No. There are moments when I look at, like, we used to have those great moments.
He doesn't watch a show. He listens to the wireless.
Yes.
In one of those
little wing earpiece things.
We had those great moments in our history looking at John Winston Howard, Prime Minister, in the tracksuit.
Oh, yeah.
At stupid o'clock in the morning, watching the Wallabies or someone play.
In a tracksuit of the Aussie colours.
Yes.
Green and gold, yeah.
With then other, I guess they're security guys next to him, sitting awkwardly on ottomans and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And him jumping out of the chair when we scored a try and then kind of going, uh-oh, the boss is into it, we better be,
That's not good.
We don't have those moments with the Abbotts, do we?
They're Aussie gold, those moments. Well, the girls, you know, wouldn't be completely styled yet watching television. They have to wait till all the makeup artists and everyone come to...
Completely.
But they featured on popular television for part of the campaign for Big Brother. Did you remember that?
That was such a car accident.
What was that?
Wow. Did you see any of this, George?
Yeah. There are certain areas that I avoid, not... quite like the plague, but I avoid them. And maybe I was away.
Well, it was a delightful moment because, of course, last year's season of Big Brother overlapped with the federal election. So all of the housemates had to vote and had been isolated from the most part of the official campaign. So they provided the leaders of the parties an opportunity to present a video.
Okay.
And...
But, you know, they're really important electorate, members of the Big Brother House.
Special constituency.
Can we just be clear on that?
Special constituency.
It was just incredible. And so, of course, Kevin Rudd did one, and I think... Did Adam Bent represent the Greens, and he delivered
one as well? Don't tell me he didn't, because Adam... Brown's done everything else.
He would have, surely.
I think...
There isn't...
I seem to remember a woman.
Could it have been Christine?
Yeah, I think it was Christine.
Yes. Miss Milne?
Yeah, yeah.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. We get the
Seriously?
Leaders
of yeah.
The only thing we didn't get was Clive standing up and delivering them a message.
Where was Clive?
I know. Yeah, wow.
He delivered one personally.
Probably.
In Queensland.
Well,
that's where the house is.
Perfect, yeah.
But Tony is standing there flanked by his lovely daughters. And he throws this line. I hope it wasn't scripted.
Mind you, they're both Amazons.
Yeah.
And Tony's this... Tony
they're total guy. Babes.
Mm. Oh, yeah, they are babes.
His wife and the daughters are like a tribe of Amazon.
Yeah, his gene pool totally missed the girls, which is marvellous.
Mm.
Yeah. But I hope the line wasn't scripted, but he has the toss-away line. I hope you don't... if you take anything out of this video, I hope it's that he's that guy with the two hot daughters. And they just... They were saying that happily to that point, and then they went, oh, Dad, I can't believe you said that. Like, it was that moment where it's just... Oh.
Nah.
Can I just say, I'm so thrilled I missed it the first time.
Yeah.
But I love the recap. It had a certain nice flavour to it.
I vomited a little bit in the back of my throat. It's got that bile kind of thing happening.
Okay.
Let's get started. Ladies and gentlemen, this is, if you haven't caught on already, the Thing Committee.
Words.
Amazingly. You've heard some voices already that have got us started, but allow me to introduce them more formally. The first is a chef, a gadabout town, dog owner, proud dog owner, and host of her own television show. I mean, that's something to be proud of in and of itself. Alan Zaslavsky.
Hello.
How you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thanks
you
for
Alan.
Having me.
I meant Alan. I was too busy concentrating Alan. On your last name.
That's all right. You know, and I was so busy hoping that you didn't get my last name wrong that when you didn't, I thought I'd let Alan go. Zaslavsky. That's perfect. Zaslavsky. That's why I prefer Alice Good in Polish Frames name. These days.
Yeah.
Much easier.
Origin, if I may ask.
Georgian. So,
of course.
Yeah.
Georgian.
Yeah, Eastern Bloc.
You know we're fighting at the moment, don't you?
Yes.
We're going on Karabakh and Georgia, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's awkward.
Armenians, Georgians, having a look at one another.
It's
Her
not,
battling
not
partner
ideal.
Today, the Silver Fox, the original, the man himself, George Denikian.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm just loving.
So George. Nice to meet a Georgian in the flesh.
Loving listening to your voice. If America can have Morgan Freeman, we have George Denikian.
I saw Morgan Freeman in Lucy the other night.
Mm, good.
He just remains Morgan Freeman. He's fantastic.
Incredible.
He can do anything and I'm happy. It's like the great James Earl Jones. James Earl... what's it? James Earl.
Jones.
Yes, James Earl Jones. I'm thinking...
Darth Vader.
Too much Darth Vader, that's right. The voice of Darth Vader, please.
Yes, my apologies voice, to not the purists. That's
the
right.
James Earl was magnificent. Freeman is just a dandy. Can do just about anything. Mm. Narrates, I'm engaged. He has those two wonderful qualities. The control of cadence and pitch.
Yes.
You got me. I'm swooning.
Oh, and speaking of swooning, what a great way to segue, I'd have to say. The beautiful and smartest fifth
on Frontline.
Moxie.
That's the
hey,
one.
I was going to go back and join the Frontline team for one reason. Didn't realise she was married.
I know, outrageous. Jane Kennedy, hello.
Hello.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, depending what
and
time we would like to do this podcast.
All of those things combined, Jane. Not only are you heavily involved in all of the things that Working Dog do, but you also get to take full credit for casting the geniuses that we will see shortly on ABC's Utopia.
Ah, well, thank you very much for that. I won't take full credit for casting Rob Sidge.
I don't think he had a say in it, to be fair.
Don't think I had a say in it. But, you know, he does all right.
He does okay.
He does okay.
He spends most of it looking completely bewildered.
Yes, he plays a very frustrated character. In fact, there's probably not a lot of acting. He reminds me of Rob at home, really.
Dealing with young kids.
Mm, yes. Thank you. I think the other cast members are ripping.
Yes.
They're good. You'll see them, hopefully, if you watch.
When does it start?
13th of August, 8:30 ABC.
Do not miss it. That's my advice.
And, now it's just called ABC.
And what genre do we put it in?
We put it in the Frontline Hollow Men genre. We're looking at... the annoying aspects of government bodies that are set up really as a distraction for getting things done. They actually are full of puff. Full of puff. Well, you know, all these very fast trains, and they all sound wonderful, and they're going to spend billions of dollars on that, and we have all the bridges, makings of infrastructure, and yet no result. And they generally happen around election time. Yeah, so it's those sort of departments and...
The opening credits that have all of these grabs from current and past politicians talking about how, you know, they want infrastructure to be something that is key to their history and their legacy.
But it costs money.
Oh, my goodness.
And they don't see it in their lifetime. They're in the...
Correct.
The problem.
That's James the being problem. Generous.
We don't have vision, we don't have statesmen, we just have pollies.
But we have hard hats and we can turn the sod.
Yeah. And do we have the fluoro tops?
Always.
Oh,
get the fluoro tops.
Get it out. You're talking my language.
Thank
it's marvellous. Jane Shane calling it, you know, sort of the satirical comedy. It's a documentary.
And don't forget, they've all got to try and cook.
Yikes.
At the same time.
Is that right?
Thank you.
Especially for their school class visit.
Mm-hmm.
Alice,
course.
I can see you getting a,
nice, George.
A recurring role.
Oh, well.
Or a little cameo.
Stick around.
I like your look, Alice. Don't worry. I've noticed it before. You're on the radar.
Oh, yeah.
Hubba, hubba.
Actually, George, you're always on my radar. But I...
That's only because we eat the same restaurant. She goes,
we're good on the tooth. Well, you know. Also, I love Greece. I love Greece.
Yeah.
I love Greece. But I honestly think your own TV show, where is it?
Exactly.
Where is the George Nikian Tonight Show?
Yes.
Come on.
George
Seriously.
Tonight.
Seriously.
Look, you need
for
mentorship.
Everything.
When I started in television, there was a guy called Bruce Gyngell who needed something at the time. He needed a European who sounded like an Australian.
Yes. Mm.
And... someone who had something a little bit different. And he said,
You'll do it.
And he didn't know I was a Dunekian, because in those days I was working on radio, and I was a Donekian, because in those days you weren't allowed to use your real name.
I mean, it's really insane, isn't it?
Way too ethnic.
Yeah.
So I said, what ethnicity do you want me to be? And I said, you're going to be George White, George Brown, George Black, any colour George except Dunekian. I said, okay. So I rang Dad. Dad said, change your name, you can always change it back.
Oh,
so
wow.
I took one letter out and I said, how about Donekian? They said, Donekian. Yeah, you got the job. So Mike Webb goes, you got the job. I started 2WS. 6 weeks into the gig, reception rings me and they say, hey, we got the organising committee of the first ever St. Patrick's Day parade. They want to talk to you. Sorry?
Could it be the Donekian?
Would you consider being the patron? And I've gone, of what? And they said, the St. Patrick's Day parade. I said, well, if you're going carried off, by all means. This is radio before television, right? So I've turned up on St. Patrick's Day and they've all gone, you're not Irish. And I've gone, to be sure. But we had a most magic time. And it goes to the very essence of what Irish, you know, are or is. And they made me an honorary Irishman for the next 8 years, which was just so wonderful.
Wow.
Fast forward 6 months. I'm about to start and launch this thing called Channel O and 28. Yeah, there's the forgotten...
Oh, 28, yep.
Yeah. Go TVO.
The 28 was ultra-hard-to-find television, UHF.
Yeah. Yes.
And Bruce Gyngell says, why the long face? We start on air, you're going to be, you know, public property tomorrow. I said, I can't be a Donekian. He said, what's your real name? I said, Dunekian. Go for it. So I've launched. Welcome to OWN 28 World News. My name is George Dunekian. And the Sydney Morning Herald writes, Donekian changed his name to make it sound more ethnic. Yeehaw!
Full circle.
Yeah.
But isn't it crazy?
So you need mentors, in essence, where we
start. You do need mentors.
So you need people who believe in you.
Yeah, I agree.
And you need people who say, let's... give them an opportunity. And then it's up to you to grasp it either with two hands or as many hands as you want and create that ensemble and that energy to carry the day. And at the end of the day, is television ready for another Tonight Show? Possibly, if we do it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And
I think that's the trick.
Absolutely, because we've got, recently speaking, some amazing a resurgence in tonight shows in America.
Mm.
What we're seeing, Kimmel and Fallon.
Yeah.
Letterman,
in
the last 18 months now starting to do, just really owning that. Like,
but I think our young audience now is infinitely more sophisticated.
Mm.
And they can deliver more. You don't no longer put a microphone in front of them and dread what's going to come out.
You're absolutely right. so right that there's this confidence that they're media savvy, and you're right, you just don't get, I don't know. Yeah. You get these articulate, funny, witty people.
And totally. Some of them right off the planet and even more engaging. And you go, wow, I want more of that.
Yes.
And that's it. Yeah.
Oh, intelligence, we see the way that they are able to respond and their awareness of world issues and local issues, and then their ability to, on point, if you, you know, point to a
tell
spot.
A story.
Oh, and you know, you ask them a question, they'll respond with the question in the answer, MasterChef style, because we've all been trained.
Present tense.
Yes. I felt this was really happening and something with stuff. But because they can nail it.
They can speak in grabs.
Oh, yes. Once upon a time, they were 45-second grabs. Mm. Now there's just 5-second grabs.
They ask you, how many seconds do you want?
Yeah. Isn't it fantastic? How much do you want?
Yeah.
Do we blame the Chick Chick Boom girl for this?
Chick Chick Boom. What's she doing now?
Oh, man.
Well, I think everyone has just about forgotten about her. She did briefly get a contract with one of the multi-channels to do something.
I mean, that's really embarrassing that she got a contract when people are slogging it out at NIDA and Whopper and people are trying to get a break.
Lots of people getting, but that I think is part of the issue.
But that goes to serendipity too, you know.
Yeah.
This business is all about, you know, whether your energy and your timing can fall into that little spot at the right time. You know, I walked into a meeting that I wasn't supposed to be. It was highly improbable that I'd be there. Mm-hmm. I was actually doing a favour for a guy called Bill Woods. Eh? We ended up working on radio together, and he said to me, do me a favour, and we ended up working television together, 20 years apart. But in those days, I went in, I said, I'll do it for you, Billy, no worries. And I was there.
But so you already had the flying hours back up. You had
without
experience and talent so that you could...
Yeah.
So you weren't being sort of thrown in the deep end like some of these kids are.
But that's what you find, though, actually, with reality TV. A lot of people ask me specifically. They come up to me and they say, so if I want my own show, I go on reality TV and then it just happens, right?
Sure.
And I have to explain that for all those thousands of people that go on TV, it's when you've got the right mix of whatever it is that they need, that's when you get it. But you need to find what it is that's your point of difference. You need to have notched up those hours as whatever it is that they need, because if you stand up in front of that camera and all you've got is your 15 minutes, good luck.
Your chicka-chicka-bomb.
Good luck.
We've had babysitters who have got into journalism school. This one girl got in and I said, you know, that's really fantastic. It's really hard to get into journalism. Mm. I said, what area are you particularly interested in doing in journalism?
Here we go.
Presenting.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's just above entertainment reporting.
There you go.
Mm.
And
there are people in America who've made a career out of being presenters, of being really capable.
Really good presenters.
Yeah, really good.
That is a competitive market.
It's a very competitive market.
Yeah. It's a skill set.
Swish and fabulous.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you get thinner every year.
Yeah. I mean, it totally is about not eating.
Gosh, Ginsburg, that's a case in point. That man has lost, without word of a lie, easily about 30 kilos from season one to season two.
And gained a lot of hair.
Go and live in LA or New York and you find out how quickly you lose weight.
Yep.
Yeah? I never knew there was a size called O. I just thought it was a frequency of my television station. My wife said to me, get a load of them. And I went...
Yeah.
You know, just as supermodels are freaks of nature and magnificent, but they are freaks of nature. You don't have racehorses or fabulous stallions that just walk in the door and you go, my goodness. And suddenly you see these models, these catwalk models, and they're like that. And you go out and you say, let's find 10 of them. Ain't going to happen.
Mm.
And yet everyone wants to emulate them.
Mm.
Well, that's why we have Next Top Thingy and Master
Top
Something
Thingy.
Someone else.
You love that show.
Bring it back to the thing.
Oh, look, I love a lot of things, George. Not all of them are.
So you think you can dance us back?
Oh, it was, briefly.
No, it's back on 11.
The US version.
It's still, still got more oomph and chutzpah and
but it's okay
other
because
Australian shows.
Look, really, women are being really represented well at the moment because The Bachelor's back, and I just feel
that's
so thrilled with how women are portrayed and what they'll do really to be on TV.
Do you know if I was a bachelor, I would never go on that that show. Oh. Never.
I thought it was delightfully ironic that in the week that The Bachelor launches,
yeah,
we have the annual Women in Media event in Sydney talking about roles of women on television and all that sort of stuff.
Wow.
And here we have 24 women basically debasing themselves. Just...
No, I think
for the love of a man they just met.
They
I think
do.
They all want to be presenters.
Of course they do, including him.
Including him.
Yeah.
Yowza.
What is his contract?
It's actually a very handy educational tool I've found because I have my 13-year-old daughter watch it.
Awesome.
And I just say, God. Dude, here's not how to do it, okay?
No, that's right. You need to work at a radio station where the breakfast crew pick you up and say, hey, you should be part of our thing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're the biggest independent, you know, television makers in Australia.
Right, well.
For some.
No, well, you know, if you see these birds, what they are, you know, obviously the producers have said, can you present The Bachelor with a song or could you present him with something you've made? Now, some girls have gone, no, but some girls have gone, yeah, sure, no problem. And my daughter actually feels sorry. She goes, Mum, I feel really so embarrassed for them. I said, they don't care. They're on national TV. Yes. It doesn't matter. It's okay.
That's the perception. Sorry, that's what pervades their whole psyche.
Mm.
That they are being given this fabulous chance and the world is watching.
Yep. Mm.
And you know what? There's someone out there who wants them for the next gig.
Mm.
And that's all that feeds the frenzy.
Probably not singing, though.
No.
Probably not, because I presume Alice, you saw it, judging by the way you said that.
She was cooking at the time.
I was cooking dinner.
Well, this opens up, I think, a good opportunity for us to segue into deciding a thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we may, the Thing Committee exists to be the definitive resource for what and what is not a thing. So I put it to you, our esteemed panel, mentoring, particularly in relation to the media. We talked about how important it is, but is mentoring still a thing?
Even more so. More
totally,
important than ever.
Totally. And
it,
exists.
In that it exists?
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yep. Yeah.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah.
In different ways,
I'm
maybe.
I'm still doing a whole lot of mentoring for different people that I believe in and have faith in. And I'm even doing a class tonight for some friends of ours. And the opportunity to grab them. But again, you weed out very quickly those that have that something about that you touched on and what the others want, yeah?
Mm.
And those that you can help, you help. I mean, you offer the same advice to all of them, but you can see a different level of engagement from different people. And that, to me,
I was talking about this last night, actually, because we have young Troy Kinney, who is doing the episode of
Any relation to Jake King?
No, he's not.
Okay.
He's a boy from Sale in Victoria. And he's
a ranger to boot.
A ranger. And just a great guy. Mm. He's got his own TV show up called Kinney that's on 7 Mate.
Yes.
It's a sketch comedy show. We haven't seen one of those for a while.
Mm.
It's Eric really Banner good. Yep. Yeah. And he has been slogging away for years and years. He used to write to Rob. He's written to all of us over the years. And he finally gets a break. And
Assistance.
I met his parents last night.
Awesome.
And chatting to them, and they just said, you know, he's had these opportunities. I said, because he's stuck at it. And he's, you know,
he's honed the art.
He's got his flying hours up. Mm. He's done a lot of things for no money.
Mm.
And I said to them, we had mentors who were fabulous to us in a sense.
Mm.
We had supporters when we were coming through. One of them was Daryl Summers.
Oh.
You know, because when Hey Hey's on, he used to have us on all the time. If we'd actually said, Daryl, we really want to be on this week or something, he would have said, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Don Lane.
Mm.
He was a huge supporter of ours. Don Burke was another one. He bloody handed over his show to us one night to just... Huh. So you have these people that really do put in. So, I mean, we've had lots of people that we love to talk to. And I guess it's mentoring in a way, and it's alive and well, here to say.
And I think the new generation coming through are seeking inspiration, motivation. You see it all over Instagram. They speak in bumper stickers and motivational quotes. And Last night, I moderated a panel with three of Melbourne's foodie finest, Chris Lucas, George Columbaris, and Elaine, CEO of Montegriffo, CEO of Second Bite.
And they've all failed to certain degrees, exactly. And they've all come back.
And they're all shy petals.
Yep, retiring wallflowers.
Directing traffic rather than hosting a panel.
That's exactly what it was. And everyone, all young women, in the audience, and they were all so keen to learn. And you could tell there was a lot of nodding every time that they spoke about following your passions, following your dreams, don't do the 9-to-5 slog. There was just nodding the whole way through. Yeah. And it just makes you think it's alive and well, but you've got to pick it. It's affirmation.
Yeah. Constant. Mm. You see people nodding. I used the expression earlier, engagement.
Yeah.
It's all of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. You tune in. It's like we're channeling you, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm channeling you. What you're really doing is you're saying, I understand where they're coming from.
Mm.
And those, that energy that they're offering, as you did last night, they would, as you say, they lapped it up.
See, there's the show.
They would have left sated.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
They were satisfied.
Yep.
Engagement with George Denikian.
Hello.
Mm. That's good.
I feel like Sky News. There you go. That's my call.
Do you think...
My new executive producer.
Yeah, thank you.
You listed before, Jane, some people that were so important for you guys as mentors and advocates.
Supporters, yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And that's a rich list.
Oh, incredible. And that in part
top
is
of the class.
Good
the question. We don't have stars and certainly don't have the vehicle as opportunities for people in a similar position like Troy who are trying
because
to get
the
thing up.
Our star system's been trashed.
Mm.
Yeah.
And there is no respect for people who have really put into the industry for years and years. I'm not talking about us because it's not sort of our thing to be faces on walls when you walk in a TV station. But someone like Eddie Maguire, I'll admit he's a great buddy of mine. But, I mean, I can't believe that dude hasn't won a gold Logie. What the hell? What's going on there?
I can tell you that the biggest thing that Eddie did was take on the challenge to run Nine.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was a poison chalice in the true
sense.
Total
poison chalice.
And I said to him at the time, you're a prince of Melbourne, but be very careful. You're going to Sydney, and they have a different perspective entirely.
Mm.
When I was growing up in New South Wales, we knew of people south of the border. We called them Mexicans.
See, the respect was extremely high.
You should look at Queensland and see who falls into that Mexican.
And he was on a hiding to nothing. But being the guy he is, he's never quit anywhere. And he took it on, and he copped it in the chin, he copped it everywhere else. And he came back, and he's rebuilding again. Mm. And at the end of the day, you know what? He will get it.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't think it's anything he's probably even thought about. But I still think when you go into a television station today, you are just literally walking into an accounting firm.
Correct.
And it's got no sense of history, of vibe, of anything. They're dead, awful spaces. Yeah. And
used
it's
to
just
walk in and Nunawading, or used to walk
in. Yeah, it was
Channel
exciting.
9, Willoughby, you walk into Willoughby and you could cut the atmosphere.
Oh,
with
my
knife.
God. I mean, they're bad couches that like people would have in their holiday house that, you know, you put your crappy stuff there.
The one down the beach.
That's what it feels like when you sit in reception at any TV station. And they've got like they might have a huge big poster up of the chef from somewhere or other. And with respect to all the chefs, that has not been their intention from day one to be on TV. That's not their passion, and they're not entertainers.
No. It's been a fashion of television.
Yeah.
It's been cyclical. We go through. We had Graham Kerr all those years ago. We had Ian Parmenter with consuming passion. And they were
Bernard
big characters.
King.
Yeah. Bernard King, big stars who went through a phase and they were huge. And we forget.
Mm.
And there are a lot of people who say to me, who? Which tells me there's a whole new audience out there that's struggling.
Well, it's just that recognition that Bernard King, as a chef, who became celebrity, then also became a judge on a talent show.
There you
correct.
Go.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then, of course, but it's reversed itself now. We've got people who are, you know, I want to become a chef so that I get my own show and tour the world to do the whatever.
Because
MasterChef's easy, right, Alice?
Oh, yeah, super easy. What, the easiest 9 months of my life.
Yeah. And Alice, yeah. It'd be really and easy
what,
to run a
what
restaurant.
What a gestation period that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And running a restaurant, people don't get.
Out, huh?
Yeah, that's yeah. right.
It's what you get out of it, what you put in.
Mm.
It's like an ingredient. It's like making a cake.
Yeah.
And there are no shortcuts.
Mm.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Because the cake will be flat without taste unless you put that love,
you
that
gotta put
work,
the heart
that
in.
Extra yeah. something in it. Mm. The Greeks will call it charisma, or a cinnamon. Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
You call it chutzpah. Eh?
Chutzpah, yeah, absolutely.
Chutzpah. Georgians, they know
all that. I call it charisma.
Charisma.
I'm a boring
charisma.
Skip.
Hey, welcome to my world.
Thank you.
Welcome to Australia.
Actually, Kennedy Donegan. Oh, remember
we know we're related. Yeah.
But, you know, Marco Pierre White said something really interesting in the 90s about, well, about the chefs going into TV, and he said that men typically became chefs because they didn't cope well in a social setting. They wanted to get into the back of house so they didn't have to talk, they just could chip away. And then you put these same men on television and get them to be sociable.
So that's why when they work, like George Columbaris is a real talent.
Yeah.
Focus.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why he is it. That's why Jamie Oliver's good.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of them who really are brilliant.
Yeah.
I think Gary's fabulous as well.
Yeah.
But you're right, though, because you do see a lot of these really amazing chefs, even in just Australia, who are given opportunities in front of camera, and you can kind of see them shifting a little bit uneasily in their shoes, and will do the spot and kind of big smile and nod and get out. May have cooked an amazing dish, and you know, you go to their restaurant and you get incredible food, but that moment was like, oh, I want to rip a band-aid off my skin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ouch. You
know? Yeah, but people don't want to see cooking, they want to be entertained.
Yeah.
So they've got to remember that they need to be an entertainer first, a cook second. So a lot of what I do now is actually just translate and interpret for chefs on stage. I'm the one that entertains while they do the cooking.
So you're the subtitler.
I'm the subtitler, exactly. I'm the interpreter.
Has someone undergone a career
transformation?
Well, yeah, transformation.
Massive
upending,
change, yeah.
Really, from being a teacher to now this media identity.
But you touched on the key word, being an educator, teacher, knows how to impart that information.
Mm.
It's a great role.
And engage an audience.
Yep. And engage an audience.
I was going to ask, in that change, the mentor conversation, have you been able to find someone that you can lean on and ask and get that important feedback from in your new industry? Because I know from experience as a teacher there are always those opportunities. You can seek them out. In media it becomes a bit harder, is my read.
That was the first thing that I did coming out of the house, as I approached people, because I had this sort of foot in the door where I could say, oh, I happen to be on MasterChef, can I speak to you? And people have been really, really accommodating and welcoming, and I'm very lucky to have mentors. What I did is I sought out people who I admired doing similar things, but I didn't sort of rely specifically just on them. I used their time wisely, sort of asked them a couple of questions, went on to the next person. I've been really lucky. I don't want to name names, not going to name drop.
Fine.
But I've been really, really lucky in terms of chefs that I've approached, but also people in the media. I was living off Carlisle Street, of course, in Balaclava, and I was in at the local, and John Safran was there writing his now bestseller, Murder in Mississippi. And I sort of waved at him, forgetting that I didn't know him.
It happens.
And he looked confused, and then I thought, you know what, this is your chance, Alice. Go over and say hello.
Break the ice,
introduced myself, and started telling him about my experience at MasterChef. Ended up chatting to him about how I was invited back to my religious Jewish day school to speak to the students, and then the week after they saw me cook bacon or pork.
Oh, really?
And they uninvited me to go to the school. It happened, and John loved that, so we bonded over that, and we have Friday night saffron now.
Nice.
So he comes
That's
around
great.
And cook, and I can ask him about media. It's really good, absolutely. But every chance I get, you know, I catch up
so
with people.
They unfollowed you.
They unfollowed me.
Oh, that's silly.
Yes. It's a 21st
century,
isn't it? Folks.
Yeah.
I mean, I want everyone to be happy in their lives, but to unfollow people for no reason. Silly stuff.
It's stuff that I don't understand.
Do you watch that, though?
That's
Do you
cultural.
Watch your followers?
That's a very good point you make. It's really cultural. But Alice is immersed in it.
Oh, no, no, I appreciate it.
And the Irish, let me tell you, the Irish, we know.
A rich history of being downtrodden.
We've been through, better believe it.
Just don't mention the Euro.
Man, if you consider that I had a fantastic stutter as a 15-year-old and we got and worked hard to get out of it, then you realise that we were downtrodden.
Look at your journey, George. I mean, you were able to make yourself the hero on the plate. You were every element.
The hero on the plate?
Every element.
Oh, my God.
I've just mixed every reality metaphor into one sentence.
Yes.
And he got the rose, the white rose.
The white rose.
Yeah.
It's so special.
No, it's fantastic. But the Irish, man, downtrodden. They know pain.
They do. Well, I think as we all do, just hearing me try and keep up. So it's a fair enough statement. I think we can agree as the committee that mentoring is a thing.
Mm.
And I think we can probably put a tack on the end of that to say that there should be more of that thing.
Yes.
Even more important now. I take a leaf out of both Jane's and Alice's book. Even more important now to find mentors and people who share with you the energy and what it takes, and a keen not to meddle, but to offer to support.
Yeah.
The word that you used earlier.
And sometimes it can just be one cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't even get to do that, depending on who the person you ask. Yeah. It may be an email, and feedback. You know, I'd like to think that most people would be able to spare the time to sit down and have a think and just say, look, perhaps try this path or this road or whatever. Yeah. It can be as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Or the objectivity of being someone outside the situation, right?
Yeah.
Can be that aid and
absolutely.
Guide.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you, all the slings and arrows out there and all the free advice,
Yeah.
But just hang in there. What you're doing has something about it. It is evolving. Yeah. It's like that wonderful recipe. It just takes time. Yeah.
Mm.
And that's sometimes more important than anything else, because 3/4 of the world might be on that journey and they just quit. One step short, 2 steps short, 3 steps short. If they'd had someone there to go, hey, I'm with you. Mm. You're onto something. Not there yet, but go for it. Keep going. And that's so important. So I can totally concur. That's the thing.
Completely.
More, not less.
More things.
Yeah.
More of the things.
More of the things.
More of the thing.
I'll take it. Jane, did you come prepared with the thing for us to decide with you?
I bought something that's really like off the shelf, off topic.
It's what we specialise in at the Thing Committee.
But it's a physical thing. I actually bought a thing.
A real thing. Tactile.
Yeah.
I want to see the thing.
This would be great for an audio podcast.
Yes.
We'll have to photograph it for
Vuvuzela.
Oh, my
good Lord.
Yeah, it's a Vuvuzela.
This conversation is over.
Mm. So there you go.
You're not going to use that.
I'm not going to play it, except you know that it's only one note of a Vuvuzela.
Yes,
that's
full on.
Hence the monotony and the annoyance of it. And it's B flat, which is your best
note. Does Rod know that you've taken it away from his special hiding place?
Do you know we have 4 of these in our house?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Why?
Could you imagine what Leo would do?
There is a link.
How did you come to be in possession of this plastic demon?
Well, it's an unusual topic to discuss, and it's about animals, actually.
Oh, please.
How it's linked in here.
Would you torture animals with that?
No. But hang on, let me just see if I can get the note.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What we've just heard is against most UN conventions.
Sorry if anybody was offended
that
by that.
That sounded like an East African.
you know.
Elephant. Yeah.
If an old vaudevillian comedian was here, they'd say, oh, excuse, I must have been the baked beans I had last night, which I will not do. No. I actually I have a kid who's obsessed with cheetah, and I took him to South Africa this year.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You could have taken him to Manado.
I could have taken him to Werribee Zoo.
Manado have the greatest Australian version of the cheetah.
That's right.
And they let them roam, and you get them to see them in the flesh speeding along at a zillion miles an hour, and you don't have a visa requirement, and you don't have to. You don't have any special
international air travel.
Yeah,
Ebola virus.
Really
none of
cheap,
that.
No. Mum. Really cheap.
Well, so I guess here's my link with the thing is, it's linked with when we got to see cheetah. It was incredible. I saw a story and I saw something actually on Huffington Post today, and they just posted these really insane photos. Should zoos be a thing? Should zoos be a thing? Because
excellent question.
When I saw animals really truly in the wild and not like fake, you know, plonked down here and there, and they were quite difficult to find and some things are elusive, but now you know animals are going to be extinct. And you see these sad photos. What it said in these pictures was the animals get super sad in winter because no one comes to a zoo.
Oh,
and you go, all zoos, I don't think I'm mad on.
I think there are some newer zoos in Monadnock. Mm. South Australia is one that is trying to, you know, remedy the situation in that they want the animals to be as free as they can be and create that that area for them to run and roam or whatever. The trouble is when you mix them, you get mixed results.
Yeah.
Because nature being nature, some of them are more hunters than gatherers, you know?
To quote the great Jurassic Park, life finds a way.
Yeah.
It does. But, you know, there's so many animal in television-wise and series on as well that focuses on the freedom of animals and, you know, with David Attenborough, that, you know, generally rates so well. Yeah, people don't see that.
Jane, we have technology today. Take a different line, a more serious line. We have technology today that allows us to replicate and make them come alive in front of us, almost in a holistic way, with holograms or whatever. Maybe that's the way to move past the zoos of today. And we have a beautiful building, state of the art. Mm. And as you walk in, you want a Tassie tiger, and up comes the history.
Dial it up.
And you
make it animatronics.
And you're wearing your headphones and your earpiece and your special dial switch that allows you to totally immerse yourself in that herd of lion.
See, this is where Clive Palmer will come in handy.
Oh, exactly.
Wow! So it's not the Titanic you want. It's the ark.
It's the ark.
He's so far there ahead of the rest of us.
He is.
That he's already started to protect the dinosaurs.
There you go.
That's it, man.
He's really good on protecting dinosaurs, isn't he?
That's what he really was pitching. No more zoo. As we know them.
As we know them.
Well, I like it.
That's a fair question. We had a family holiday last year where I grew up in Dubbo. I was born in Dubbo, Midwestern New South Wales.
Well, there's a very famous
zoo there that my dad actually helped make. He was working for the Soil Conservation of New South Wales, and they were subcontracted to use their bulldozers to dig the trenches and push the dirt up and make all of the things, so that the whole hook for the Western Plains Zoo is that you, on the whole, don't see the fences because they've built them so that there's large water tracts or hills and things so that you get to see these giraffes roam around in, admittedly not the plains, but a fairly big area.
Yeah.
Get around and have their time, and they come over and they eat the food and then they go again and all of the things. The kids were really excited to see stuff. And there were a few moments. I think we went to visit the lions. It was like, where's the lions? And we kind of went, I think that's one up the back there having a sleep because the grass was all long to be all nice and environmentally things, but the lions were lions something. But I can imagine that the difference then to go to an animal sanctuary in Africa where it is, here is a giraffe and a hippo and a lion in their natural habitat. We have gajillions of square acres where this is the place. The downside, though, in that scenario is that we still have to have fences, not to keep the animals apart, but to keep the poachers out.
That's an insane situation. It's really terrible.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's not a thing. I can't believe that more and more photos are coming out of people paying to kill wild animals.
What about those photos of cheesy American look, sort of cheerleader looking girls? Yeah,
I don't care what
sitting on top of an elephant.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow,
absolutely horrible. However, a spectacular parody came out recently, which was a shot of Steven Spielberg leaning casually on the Triceratops from Jurassic Park. There was animatronic.
That's good.
So it was a real thing.
Yeah.
And so he was leaning on it and it looked dead. And he was leaning back on it. And someone posted that and said, we need to stop poaching now.
That's so good.
So good.
So we agree.
So good.
Mind you, I've seen the magnificent zoo in Singapore at the night zoo over there, and it does a bit gangbuster business. I remember being at Taronga when the pandas arrived, and the queues just got so long because they were so cute.
Pandas are cute.
Pandas are super cute.
But I love that they give them Chinese names that make them sound
even cuter.
Rude. Yeah. The one at the German zoo was CNUT. CNUT.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Yep. Knut.
Yes.
Oh.
And hello to all of our dyslexic friends.
Yeah.
I knew the subtitle would bring it up.
Yeah. There's so much that's good about what zoos do. Mm. And as difficult as we might, you know, to hear about the animals being sad because the people aren't coming and, you know, the horrible stuff about the killer whales in SeaWorld and that whole blackfish scenario. Look it up, people. It's on the internet. Mm. The flip side, I guess, is the behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't see that the public face stuff funds, the research into how do these animals that are extremely rare, bordering on extinction, mating programs. How do we continue their path? How do we find ways, like SeaWorld in Australia do, to best deal with whale beachings?
Mm. I think it was International stuff. Day of the Tiger or something, like worldwide last week or something. So, look, you know, I'm not a massive animal activist, and it's probably really bizarre to bring it up today, but it had crossed my mind.
Yeah, you bought a vuvuzela to prove you are.
I bought a vuvuzela. In a word, there you go.
Excuse me.
Does work. Baked beans too.
Baked beans. Right after breakfast.
I guess because I cross over to social media and how that works, and there's so many performers who are advocates for animals and things like that, and sometimes sometimes I'm a bit cynical about it. Is it cool to just jump on board? But no, you know, look, I don't know. It's a ridiculous thing to bring in, I know, but something that just crossed my mind in the last 24 hours.
It makes us think.
There you go.
The Irwins, that's the
thing. The Irwins, wow. I really miss Steve Irwin.
Yeah, absolutely.
As I'm sure his children and his wife too, but wow.
I was overseas at the time. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it when I heard it. I was overseas at the time and didn't believe it.
Still a shock.
Yeah, it was a shock. Absolutely. Just like, it's crazy.
What was it earlier? I want to say earlier this year now, Steve Irwin's best friend, his cameraman that was with him, was on a program at Television Australia recounting those last moments. And apart from silly questions. Well,
time and distance.
There is a too soon issue. I mean, we're pushing nearly 10 years since his passing.
It is that long.
Given that Bindi just turned 16 and she spoke as a young girl at his funeral with the most amazing, it makes me cry just watching that clip.
I agree. I'm a big Bindi fan.
I love my daddy and I'm going to continue his work. Oh,
love Bindi.
Oh, incredible. He was talking about, you know, what went on and that moment where he was underwater with him and he saw it happen and they're, you know, reefing him out of the thing into the tender to get him over to the boat to get the helicopter to take him the thing and to have Steve say to him, "I think I'm dying, mate."
Mm. He knew.
That's how, wow. Ooh. The depth of that is just amazing.
Guy who was so full of life realised straight away that his life was ebbing away.
And wasn't there was no, you know, bloody stingray or anything that we recounted. This is happening and I was doing what I loved.
Freak.
And goodness.
Freak. So I like the thing. I like that thing.
That's a good thing. Cool. Yeah.
I'm down with zoos being a thing for the good that they do.
Yes.
Mm. I'm not down with zoos being a thing for some of the horrible stories that you do still unfortunately hear around.
And I think, to be fair, in Australia, I think we're pretty good in Australia. I think there's some really creepy ones in other parts of the world.
Sure. Yes. Sure.
Private zoos. Who affords a private zoo?
Some very, very wealthy people.
What happened to Michael Jackson's zoo?
I think that all the animals went to other zoos.
Wow.
Because they needed to be looked after and the estate couldn't fund it.
Wow.
Do you think there's a place for some sort of zoo charter
where if your zoo doesn't fit the particular sort of humane, ethical...
Like the UN of the
zoos.
You'd have to think something like that exists.
I'm sure
there's got to be like a rule book.
Well, there are obviously zoos breaking it.
Didn't Matt Damon have a rule book in the time?
Oh, what a good film. I really enjoyed it.
There you go. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, good film.
The guy wrote a book about it. And made a movie and So there is rules, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just whether you subscribe to his rules or the zoo ends.
And my thing is the other thing about the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Piracy.
Yes.
That's my thing.
This is your thing. Talk to me about what's your thing, George?
I've got a real struggle. I mean, I understand why a lot of Australians, because we're in Australia, Australians, it goes deeper and darker than that. I have a sneaking suspicion it's about, like, how dare you have something I can't have, and I can grab it, really, if I try this, and I don't want to wait a year.
Mm.
Now, that part of it I can understand, because I've understood that over the last 30, 40 years, television has acted a bit like the gamekeepers, and the gatekeepers,
yes,
and they'll tell you when you can watch it when they're ready.
Particularly in Australia. When we know everything comes out everywhere else in the world.
And, you know, why iTunes costs you half the money anywhere else, but here it costs us three times as much.
Hey, it costs a lot of money to get those bits across the ocean in a cable that's been there now for 20 years.
I want a new cable so I can justify the cost.
George, is piracy theft? Is it the same word?
Look, there's a part of it where I know how many people it takes to put a show together. And I want them all to be rewarded.
Yes.
Because that effort, you don't diminish. There's a reason why we have this head, the head all the way down to the bottom, and every player makes that their contribution, and that project is fulfilled. All right. And you sit back and go, fabulous. I want them all to be able to get another job tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, based on their ability.
Yes.
And their energy. And what makes their contribution so special? I don't want them shortchanged. So if they get shortchanged, then it's piracy. Sorry, then it's theft.
Mm.
If it isn't theft, then what is it?
Is it
someone else at the top saying to us, "Now hang on a minute, I want this because I want to get my cream as well."
Yeah. Look, I've said. Fairly clear views on this that I won't subject you to now.
No, subject me to.
Oh, no. I want to include the ladies as well. I was just going to throw to Alice and say, Alice, as someone who's been involved in a show that...
If I pitch your recipes, would you feel terrible?
I think it depends on... Because if it's my IP and you're paying homage to it, or if you're kind of... Yeah, no, that's what it is, isn't it? But I think they're... Going back to piracy, I think it's almost like it's a laziness. People kind of defer to, well, it's free, so I'll just go for it. There are ways where you can still pay for that program or that film to be able to watch it. And I think we made a decision a while back that we were no longer going to engage in certain things. As a young, I'm gonna. Mm-hmm. It's like I feel like I'm admitting to drug use or
it
something like that.
It is a safe place.
Okay. It's a safe. I'm in a safe place. It's not like anyone's gonna hear this, right?
Well, we hope so. Just not the people you don't want to hear.
Just the people that I don't want to hear. But we made the decision that we were going to pay. Always going to pay. And especially, you know, I read an article about Game of Thrones and they were saying that if they didn't get people paying for their program, they wouldn't be able to film.
Sustain it.
Yeah. Exactly. And so we've found means. We were overseas when the show was on and we found various servers and things where we could still pay for the program, watch it on our iPad.
Fantastic.
And paid way too much to watch episodes, but it's because we love the show and it was
we
want more of it. Exactly. And I hope that other people my age feel the same, and I don't want to judge, but it's absolutely.
It's a big thing.
Tell us what's your thing.
Well, I was going to ask one of the content creators in the room who
Jane.
Has product that, for example, right now, it's not exactly piracy per se, but the whole series of Frontline is on YouTube. Someone not Working Dog has put up, and I rewatched the series on YouTube
recently.
But
we have been involved in that and approved that.
There's some dodgy copies. Surely we could fix that.
There's a couple that were like ripped off.
Really?
The
question mark. If I'm a comedian and you pinch my material, am I coming after you or what?
You should do.
Right.
There's a bit of an unspoken thing in the comedy world that you should
then. So why are we talking one language and trying to communicate it in another?
If I
have a product and it costs that much money to deliver it, why should you get it for nothing? If the front door of the showroom is open and I can drive out with a Mercedes, that's okay.
I don't like this car. I want that car. I'll drive it away.
Yeah.
I am a firm,
where does it start? Where does it stop?
Yeah, I'm a firm advocate of
steal it, baby.
Paying for the goods.
Okay.
You know, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Because if for no other reason, and it might seem like, but I'm one person and paying my $8, $50, whatever it is for a season isn't going to mean a whole hill of beans.
Mm.
In one person's instance, it's not. In many people's instance, that can be the difference between that production company making enough money to be able to fund it to do it again.
Well, that's the whole thing. See, people maybe are under this impression that also you make heaps and heaps of money producing things in Australia.
Yeah. What's the truth, Jane?
The truth is... Well, can your editor Vivisala squawk in? Well, look... It's just not the case in Australia. It's not Game of Thrones, Friends, Seinfeld world. Mm. It's not that. We don't have the numbers, you're right. So when we do make any profit, it does go back into the next project.
Yeah.
And that's how you can have longevity in the business and you keep going. I don't know who works in the industry who likes to make some money and then store it away and basically retires. It's just not going to happen.
Mm.
And so, look, I, of course, one day a babysitter brought in a pirate film from Bali or something into our house, and I tell you, that didn't go down well.
Wrong house to bring that into.
Yeah.
Correct.
To make it worse.
She's got the conch.
To make it worse, it was a pirated copy of The Castle. So
to make it worse, actually, it wasn't that, and it was a crap movie too, I think, at the time, whatever it was. But that, you know, we couldn't wait to get that out of our house. Mm. Take it away. It just says it's everything wrong.
The thing that hurts us in this scenario is, you're right, from an Australian perspective, there's not the population to warrant huge returns on television.
Mm.
You know, so we need distribution deals. We need to be able to sell the DVDs and do all of the things to help make it profitable to pay for the next thing.
Yeah.
You know, no one is going and buying a house at Brighton off the back of, I've had a successful series.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
Depends on the series.
it's such an interesting beast because in Australia, we almost have this sense of entitlement when it comes to television, what we see on the box. Because in Australia, we predominantly get things for free.
Yes, we do.
By proxy paying for it by having ads, being subjected to that. And we have now technology that allows us to record it, skip it, all that stuff. In America, if you want to watch it, let's use Game of Thrones because it's the best example anyone can bring up. If you want to watch Game of Thrones in America, it is not free there. You have to have HBO in your cable package.
Mm.
It's considered part of a premium cable package. Now, sure, everyone has cable. It's cheap as an en masse market scenario because they have 250 million people to our 23.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to pay.
So you're not talking for the Hispanics and the illegal Hispanics.
Oh, I'm just counting what they called it in the last census. That's right.
It's just the other 100 million.
People that transition between countries just for work every day.
They pay cash.
Yeah, they do.
Remember that.
You know, Game of Thrones is something that is only valuable. You pay your $80 or whatever it is for the premium package to get it, to watch it. You can't even watch it online week to week unless you have HBO Go, which you get as a part of that package.
Correct.
So to see it in America, you have to pay for it.
Mm.
To claim in Australia that you shouldn't have to pay to watch Game of Thrones, even if it is an extortionate amount of money, I'm not defending Foxtel and their pricing mechanisms, but even if you have to do that, deal with it, quite frankly.
But that's not the Australian way.
Well, it doesn't help that HBO go, you know what, we make back all of our money, and they spend a sizable amount of coin to make Game of Thrones. There's very little studio, a lot of it's location. There's hundreds, thousands of extras dressed in things to
look like
things.
You've got to pay the dragons.
And that cast is spectacular.
Oh,
and yes. I go back to what we didn't touch on it, but we should have. Casting.
Yep.
I think the people who, and you see it, it's a line in a movie, casting, so-and-so, that person deserves gold.
So important. Mm.
Because you get that right. You get that mix of characters, yeah? And you bring them in and you give them the material and they add another flavour to it.
Yes.
That enriches it so much, you just want to go, oh, man, that was spectacular. Mm. You go back and see some of those special movies with other actors in them, and then you hear stories that, oh, that was the first choice, and you go, no, no. It's like 50 Shades of Grey. Seriously? Was that the character?
Yeah.
No? So casting to me is absolutely imperative, and it should be in the hands of people who really know, not who play their favourites,
yes,
but who really have an eye, an ear.
Yep.
Because who would have picked that in Game of Thrones we'd have a guy, you know, Tyrion Lannister. Yeah, what a character.
Yes.
And, you know, let me tell you, as long as they can kill everyone else, except for Daenerys Stormborn, of course. And Tyrion, that'd be it. And they can ride away on a dragon.
Yep.
Perfect, man. That's a, yeah.
They can end up together. That would be cool.
Oh, and Jon Snow.
Don't forget Jon Snow.
I'm a Jon Snow boy, yeah.
Jon will just be standing on the beach looking up.
Kind of wistfully going.
With his bottom lip. Oh,
Ygritte, where are you? Yeah. I know nothing.
Oh, man. That arrow went in. Oh, Ygritte. Oh.
At least he finally had sex. That is true. Thing.
And we all got to see it. So,
yeah. You know,
it's an important difference. So HBO.
So that's the thing.
Yeah,
piracy.
HBO recoup the cost.
Love it.
In America by making and doing their subscription deals. So when they sell into Australia, mostly it's cream for them. The deal that they do to have it shown here is whatever. So the big issue we
sit
play.
Sit there and they go, man, come on.
I don't like the gloating.
Oh, don't. It gets so under my skin and I'm the worst person because that riles me and I get angry with them. The people go, oh, I've just downloaded it. It's great. It's free. And I was like, no.
Don't get angry. Get even.
Well, Senator George Brandis is trying to get even with the whole copyright
George,
issue.
You're not going to get political, remember? No, relax.
I struggle with GB. I just do on a 50 different levels.
You and most of the population, friend.
No, I would just like him not to say too much. Yes, you know, I've got great believer there are certain people, the art should be in what they don't do. Yeah, less is more.
Yes.
And in George's case, sorry, George. In George's case, please, less is more. If I don't see him on television tonight, my world's a warmer place.
I hear that. Place. So piracy is a thing. We have to acknowledge that it takes place. People are downloading television and not paying for it where they could / should. Should it be a thing? In that, I put this question on social media saying, and it was just a simple yes, no, wasn't trying to get into the nuances of the argument, but does pirating, stealing, taking, however you want to call it, downloading of the television that you could otherwise pay for.
You got inundated by the pirates.
Well, I asked the question, is doing that beneficial to that industry? Because the people who do it suggest that more people, more interest, more likelihood they're going to make more of it.
You can rationalise anything.
Yeah, No. I say no to that. I say foof to that.
Yeah, woof.
Yeah.
Do they monitor the illegal downloads and add that to the ratings?
Who's they? They being the people that do the rating stuff.
Yeah.
Not really, not officially.
Doesn't make difference.
There's also so many different ways and things that people can access that content.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, for example, it is legal if you're an American citizen to sign up to US Netflix and to do exchange goods for services and all that sort of stuff, money for services. In Australia, through means nefarious or otherwise, you can access Netflix, give them your credit card, tell them you live in Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And get access to that service in the same fashion.
Correct.
But you still pay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You still pay
but
for
half
it.
Half price.
Yeah, I think yes.
Not should you pay, should you be accessing that service?
That I think is okay because ultimately, you are not getting it for free.
No, but you're paying it.
You're paying it.
And in fact, often ponying up a little bit more cash because you're using the VPN service to be able to do it.
Yes. Exactly.
Sure.
That I think is okay.
I will agree.
Mm.
That then, however,
I'm with the girls, hey?
Yeah.
Well, it becomes that global conversation then, doesn't it? The fact that we are now, thanks to the internet, global citizens. Mm. We can communicate with people in the US, the Ukraine. That,
and that's not muddy. It doesn't make it muddy about piracy or not. That is not piracy.
No. I'd almost think if you're an iTunes person, you should have one iTunes store. Yeah?
Yeah.
If there's an Australian component of that, and you're talking about taxes...
Correct. There shouldn't be country-based.
It should be hived off, and that goes to Australia. But there's one bullshit, international mate. Store. It's the world, man.
Total bullshit, mate, that whole iTunes stuff.
But then what about when Working Dog would sell Utopia into a market that they do well in overseas? If we didn't have that geography-based copyright scenario, wouldn't that then be defeating the opportunity for you to on-sell that?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Can you put it in a sentence?
If we had an iTunes scenario that was a global platform, not segmentized based on copyright region.
Yep.
And there would be opportunity, I'm not sure if you will, but an opportunity to then put Utopia onto iTunes for people to pay to watch.
Yep.
If it was a global footprint and you put it on iTunes and made that available, does that then not take away opportunity for you to sell Utopia into other regions?
Because it's so hard to sell into another region anyway.
I asked that initially. That's not loaded.
No, it's impossible to sell product into the US.
I would say Jane and Co. would revel in that particular.
Totally revel
in it. Because what they're saying is, give me a market.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Remember what people say to you, what I want, Westfield used to say, we guarantee you traffic outside your store. Now, whether you get them in and they come back is your business.
No. In fact,
we'll deliver them.
It'd have the opposite effect, actually. It would be totally beneficial.
There you go.
And I hear that. And I think that would be a great solution for a lot of
So if they have that referendum, I'm voting for it, all right.
Well, I don't think we're going to get a referendum. I think what we're going to get is the white paper's come out and it's going to be talked about by a lot of people that do and don't understand the argument.
Can we be on the white paper in discussion?
Can we argue on it?
Can we contribute?
I would hope so.
Because my view is, let's do it now.
Is it the opportunity then to feed back to Malcolm Turnbull, Minister for Communications, and the Attorney General, Senator George Brandis? Write the letter, write the email.
You weren't going to mention his name again.
Well, I feel weary about it. I feel weary.
Oh, because it's been just to death.
I know.
I'm just people to death about this.
My shoulders are down about it, and I just don't think...
Because the outcome probably is going to be quite heavy-fisted.
The outcome is only going to benefit the government and what they want. Not the people ever.
And the people that come and speak to the government, on behalf of the large media organisations that say protecting copyright is beneficial to us, so therefore you must enforce these things. Yeah, I need to buy another ivory back scratcher.
Yeah. I mean, really, the word monopoly is ringing in my ears.
Yeah.
It's a great game. Alice, a thing to round us out?
I have many things, all of the things, but I'm going to choose one, and I think I'm going to choose one that's... Okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And it's something that gets my goat so much. Facebook at the moment, my Facebook, I know, especially, is full of political statuses because of all of the political unrest all over the world. And every time that I read someone's status that's political or really sort of it annoys me, I think. I think it's
is
not,
this is
it,
more because of the current situation with Gaza and Palestine,
everything.
And your background and
my
heritage.
My background, definitely, but also Ukraine, what's happening over there. So basically my question is, soapbox statuses, is it a thing?
Oh, we need to stop it being a thing. I'll throw that straight at you.
I come from a generation of Gilligan's Island, Brady Bunch. We're the nothing generation, we're the daggy generation of almost no political voice in a sense. In Facebook world, I'm still seeing mums posting kids and happy birthdays.
And that's fabulous.
I think it is your generation more that has a strong voice, and I'm not saying that people my age don't get political, but I'm not seeing that as much on Facebook in my world.
I'll send you a couple of my followers, all right?
Yeah, you can have mine. You can have them all.
I'm a pussy. I'm not going to write stuff either.
And because of my news background, so many people say, will you please follow this?
Okay.
Please
retweet this. Retweet this. Celebrity retweet gets me.
And, And there are so many that I'll just let them skip by.
Sure.
And there are others that, just for being cheeky, I will go, you know what, I'm backing you, boy, or backing you, girl, go get it. And even sometimes to be totally to obfuscate and to create mayhem in them, if I can.
Yes.
Just occasionally fire a little dart, a little guerrilla movement. Mm.
Just to stir the pot.
Where did that come from? I thought he was an Armenian Greek. Yeah, I thought he was Greek Armenian.
You a troll, George.
I'm just an Australian.
Are you Armenian as in Kardashian Armenian?
Yes. Are you a cousin?
Oh, my God.
No.
That would be ultimate crossover.
I was here before the Kardashians.
Sorry, back to Facebook. I do see it and I do follow. And interestingly enough, most of my Jewish friends, I can see reams and reams of back and forth conversations going, which I find...
It's a horrible time.
Oh, it is a horrible time.
Stop posting photos of dead bodies. End of story.
Oh, please, I agree.
Goodness. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, to take you back to a place called 1983, the Falklands crisis. Mm. Yeah. No one knew the Falklands. No one knew it was the Malvinas. No one knew where it was, right? It was off the coast of Argentina, you know, way down South Atlantic, down the other side of the world. And they called a war. Margaret Thatcher was the British Prime Minister. She declared war against the Argentinians. And they said, wait, we're going to be 2 weeks before we get there. It was the height of absurdity. Mm. But that's what happened. They declared war, and it took 2.5 weeks for their warships and everything else to get down there. Yeah, we at SBS were brand new in the marketplace, and we were covering the Falklands crisis, not the war at the
which
time.
Which is what it was.
Mm.
And we got bomb threats.
Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely. We had to evacuate the SBS, it wasn't SBS, no, the Channel O newsroom, on a half a dozen different occasions, because we sat above the US consulate in Sydney, in Milsons Point, and we had to evacuate. All because, why do you think? Not because of what we were actually saying during the news or who we were supporting, because we didn't support anyone. The lead-in program to the 0-28 World News was a program called Rosa de Lejos. It was an Argentinian soapy.
Oh.
And they thought, we were humanizing the Argentinians.
Oh.
How dare you, propagandists? We're going to bomb you. And that's what we had to endure for almost the entirety of that program. And I can remember during the war, I saw the first time in my life the British Information Minister. He was called, and this is the official title, propaganda minister for the Falklands crisis. And his name, and he would come up and he'd say, and there were 45 Argentinians claimed today, and we lost 2 British subjects, you know. Crazy stuff. And it was the first real time we saw propaganda in its full, you know, uncloaked.
Yeah.
And it was scary.
I can imagine.
And you fast forward now, and we're seeing elements of that today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Different people playing games, Hamas saying what they're saying, the Palestinian Authority saying what they're saying, the Israeli Authority saying they're saying they should stop throwing bombs. My view is you should all stop, guys.
Yeah.
This should have stopped 50 years ago, but when it's that deeply entrenched, logic goes out the door and it's all about emotion. And you know what happens when you've got emotion locked in? Nothing permeates the ears, and it's the most dangerous, most awful thing. In 1990, I was in Italy for the World Cup, and you're thinking, why is he dragged up in 1990 in the World Cup? Argentina played the West Germans as they were there. The Argentinians had beaten Italy 2 days before, who were going to be the team to beat. The Argentinians with Maradona, who played for Naples, beat Italy. They got into the final. 80,500 voices as one have gone, Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Because they hated this guy had upset Italy. I thought I was back, I was channeling 1936, and it was awful. And what should have been a glorious opportunity for a young boy from down under, you know, witnessing his first World Cup final, I was terrified. I sat there and I thought, and so much of my feeling was, I'm over this. The game was woeful. I saw all the nasty things that, yeah. you know, crowds that can evoke that are just based on emotion. So you immerse yourself with emotion. Yeah, I'm out of it.
Mm.
And yet we need emotion to get so many things mm-hmm. up and running. So, you know, whoever's talking now, whether it's Ukraine, and that's another can of worms, I know people who are very well connected, and they said to me 3 months ago, we're going to see many more lives. They didn't know it was going to blow up like this.
Yeah.
But they were resigned to it, and I hate it when I see good people resigned to it.
Yeah.
Mm. My gut has always said, never quit. Yeah? And it goes back to where my forebears came from. They came from a part of the world that was Ottoman Turkey, and they were Christian, and they weren't required. They were, you know, surplus to requirements. They were told, leave or else. And the or else meant we lost 100 of them who were butchered at a time when, you know, the world behaved in a different manner. And here we are, 21st century, and we still ain't performing or behaving any better. And I cringe, and parts of me go, oh, dear.
Mm.
And that's why when we talk about the thing, there are so many things to talk about, but we need to grow up as human beings, and I'd love us to do that in a hurry. Wouldn't it be fantastic?
It would be marvellous.
As adults?
Quite frankly. Yeah. I mean, we're recording this on the day that is effectively the 100th anniversary of the start of World War One.
Yep.
Yeah. The war to end all wars.
Yeah. Didn't.
we maybe need some revisionist stuff on that. But, you know, just thinking about that, those kind of conflicts through the lives of our forefathers and families and even to now, that how they affect us. It's very real for the people that are sharing those statuses on Facebook, whether they're connected by one or two steps or it's just this is, you know, my family, my life in that context. And I understand that social media provides such an amazing platform to share and to do this stuff.
It can do so much good, but it can also do so much.
Oh, you can just get so overwhelmed by everybody shouting at you about the thing, about the war thing and the
shouting.
Stuff.
Stop the shouting.
About the mums posting baby shots. Everything can be overwhelming. But, I hear that. I certainly don't have as many connected friends in that context.
Yeah.
But I have still seen things appear. And I follow a lot of journalists on Twitter, for example, who are not them, to their credit, but people around them or affiliated.
Pushing
here's a picture of something. Here's I don't need that.
Yeah.
I think I actually set up a filter to block some things so that I didn't see some of those things.
Because
I don't... It's horrible, but I don't need the hourly 10-minute reminder or something that...
Constant.
That this is
like
happening.
The Chinese water torture. One drop, same spot, time after time.
I don't want to be so overwhelmed by it that I become just...
numb to it.
That I then don't respond.
There's a show tonight on the History Channel.
Mm.
Yeah? It's Stalin, Winston Churchill and Hitler.
Yeah.
Before... they became who they became. In other words, what took them and what events happened in their lives to turn them into the people they turned into.
Mm.
I've got a different view on that, but it's going to be interesting to see that. I think they were what they were.
And that's another thing.
Yeah,
a whole other thing.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, George, that you bring up the Falkland Islands just before, not in the context necessarily that you did, but one of my favourite Simpsons moments is we're watching, the kids are watching Krusty the Clown, and all of a sudden, kids, the British have invaded the Falklands.
That's right.
And it pulls down this map of South America. The Falkland Islands are a small nation off the coast of Argentina. It's just this hilarious craziness. I guess kind of...
That's why the Simpsons are so brilliant.
Oh, my goodness. They are marvellous people. Right, incredible things. Alice, so your thing. It's a thing? It's not a thing? We don't want it to be a thing?
It's a thing.
It's a thing, but I think you need to think twice before you make it a thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And maybe, I think the problem is that all of these atrocities happen because of apathy and because they're,
two sides, but also because a lot of people aren't listening and aren't paying attention. So I can see why my friends are getting involved and why people want their voices to be heard. But all you hear is white noise after a while. So think twice before it's a thing. Double check your sources. Don't use Facebook like a – well, treat Facebook like a dinner table conversation.
Yeah.
Would you bring it up at a dinner table?
Yes, which is the basic premise and rules originally of what it is. There you go.
Yes. Yes. Then I won't have to unfriend you.
Yeah.
Stuff we can all share and enjoy. Alice, if people would like to find you in the world, as much as you want to let them, how can they track you down?
Well, you can follow me on all of the social media as at Alice in Frames, like the glasses, or just check me out at alicez.com.au and check out Kitchen Whiz on Channel Go every morning, 7:30, and online at Jump In Legally.
Yes.
Fantastic.
That's what kids like to do. They're big fans of Kitchen Whiz.
Thank you so much.
Not so much for you, though, I think.
Oh, it's the ninja. It's all about the ninja.
Like, I know her. And they went, no, you don't, Dad.
We'll take a photo together, then they can see.
Oh, no, we definitely will. Yeah. Master Danekian, how can people be tracking you down?
At George Danekian on Twitter, probably. There is a Facebook site, but I'm getting a website organised, but we're in the process of moving to another platform. Yes. Let's see what happens.
High quality Twitter feed, if I can just endorse George Danekian.
You're too
very good, I agree. High quality. I highly endorse it as well.
Good opinion, solid source of information.
I'm going to follow Alice right now.
Yeah,
thank you, George Danekian.
Yeah, hair beauty, I'm in.
I will follow you back.
Thank you, man.
Jane Kennedy, where do people seek you out?
I am Twitter also at Jane_L_Kennedy. And really that's all. Like, I don't have websites or anything else like that. I'm just sort of, you know, pottering around. I'm around. You can watch me on the telly occasionally on Have You Been Paying Attention? And you can watch our show Utopia.
Yes, do that.
ABC. Not ABC One anymore, just ABC. Our ABC.
It is ABC.
It's the Fair Income One.
They've dropped the one,
but ABC Two is still ABC Two.
Except for imitations. Yeah. There are duplicates and triplicates, but it is about...
There's 2, 3,
and 24.
I've got another thing about another thing.
George.
But it's for another time.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah?
Yes.
And the question, I'll let it linger because it'll fester beautifully. Mm-hmm. You can catch it next time. And that is, should we grab the ABC and the SBS, dismantle both, and create a brand new National Broadcasting Corporation? Or should we address the issues that both have and make them truly meaningful at a time when commercial television is going through an enormous load of constipation? It's struggling. It's seriously struggling. And I think our public broadcasters either need to be strengthened, need to be rebuilt, or here's the thing.
There's another thing, George. There's another thing. That's another episode.
Yeah,
another
that's episode. A takeaway thing, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's a
takeaway thing. Mull over it.
Feedback to us.
I might make a Facebook status about it.
We're going to get kicked out. It's all happening.
I'm going to go and buy my own woofers.
Please don't. Don't encourage that industry.
Sorry.
Doesn't need it. It's fine that you've got one, but let's not multiply it.
Of course.
You can respond to us at Think Committee on Twitter. Tell us what you think. Find us on Facebook. Give us the answers to George's conundrum. What about the ABC and the SBS?
And you can also go, what the F is Jane talking about zoos? Why did she bring that up? Honestly, I don't know why I did.
But question.
I probably should have it.
There was something
more to do with the media.
No, it was good.
See, that was maybe the direction I should have.
No, it was totally valid. I'm Steve Malk. You can find me in all of the places that you probably already know about. This is the Think Committee, people. Tune in, zone out, drop by.
Fireball.
I've just heard an unpopular podcast. Find more unpopular podcasts at unpopular.com.au.